Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Wellbeing Router podcast. It's been a while. It's been a minute, but don't be too mad at me because this is our first ever interview podcast, and I'm kind of nervous. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never done an interview podcast, and plus, I'm kind of new to streaming. I'm new to Streamlabs. I'm not good with the tech side of it. I'm going to be vulnerable right now. I don't know how to work the tech, but I'm working on it. I'm looking up tutorials. I'm getting it going, but we're going to do this. We're going to freaking do this. But today's interview is with my good friend, Brandy Kins. Brandy Kins is not only a content writer, but also she writes for businesses, and kind of her motto is kind of like the writer girl. Like, she helps write for businesses and content creators who don't have the time to do so. And she's also a horror content creator. And that's what I say, when you're a writer, you have to broaden your horizons. You have to broaden everything that you do and not just be this writer. We have to be more than that. You know, you have to be doing other stuff. You have to be doing speakings. You have to be creating other content for writing. But today's topic is confidence and acceptance of your work. But the story behind how this came to be, I did a Twitter post about common problems and pitfalls of writers and what are some problems. And Brandy responded, confidence and accepting your work. And that really like touched me because I didn't think about that, because yes, you can write. Yes, you can have the skills. Yes, you can have the value. But if you're not confident enough to accept it and share it, then you're not going to do the full thing. So today's episode, we're going to go over how to really be self-acceptant of your work and confidently share it and not be afraid to get any type of criticism, whether it's negative or positive, and just push through. But yeah, and I can't wait to do this interview. I'm gonna be kind of nervous, and let's hope we don't have any tech issues. And yeah, I can't wait to stream and do this, and I'll see you at the end of the podcast interview. Hope you have a good time with Brandy. She has really high energy, which I love about her. She has really natural high energy, and I just love that. So let's do this. All right, hello, welcome to the Wellbeing Writer podcast. This is our first podcast interview. So excited to get this going with Brandy Kins. Brandy Kins is a content writer and a horror content creator. So how is it going, Brandy?
It is going very well this evening, and I am so excited to be on your podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. So the whole topic of the podcast is confidence and acceptance of your work. And this actually came to be from a Twitter post that I did of common problems of writers. And then Brandy responded, confidence and acceptance of your work. And this like kind of like blew my mind. I was like, wow, I never thought of that. Like, yes, you can have like value, a niche, and kind of like a why behind everything. But like, you have to have like confidence and accept your work to be able to put it out there. So yeah, that really opened my mind. So thanks for bringing that to my attention.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the biggest things I've had to learn just whenever I did my writing, was feeling confident enough in what I put out there, whether even people accepted it as it was or not. Because yeah, confidence isn't just something whenever you first start writing that you immediately have.
Yeah.
You're not like, hey, woo, just I'm completely 100% confident that what I put out is perfect. No, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, when I shared my first Medium post online, it was really scary. Like, I put my full story out to the world. You know, you don't know what could happen. Like, the attention you could get, like, the feedback could get. It was just like a lot to grasp, but like once you like move past that fear, like you start to be more confident, and like you learn like a lot about yourself when you write. And yeah, so
oh yeah, absolutely, writing is a process. It's not something that's ever completely finished. Even when you put your finished product out there, you're always going to be like, ah, dang it, I should have done it that way.
So I guess the first question is, let's just start from the very beginning, very basic. What is kind of like your journey with writing? How did you get into it, and kind of just like your story?
Oh, wow. All right. I had always liked writing ever since I was a kid. That's where people always start, like, when I was a kid, like, that's how it happened. But I used to write a lot of stories whenever I was a kid. I won third place in a story contest in the fourth grade. But I started to take my writing a little bit seriously whenever I was 14 and in high school. That's when I started writing poetry. But when it came to whenever I had to choose what I wanted to do, you know, the career, like, thoughts that you have, like, when you get to be a senior in high school, it was always like, you can never make any money with writing. So that was kind of put on the back burner for me to major at first in biomedical sciences, because I wanted to be a doctor. But I did minor in creative writing, and I had seen it more as a hobby in college rather than as something that I can make a lucrative living off of. And then I majored in education. Like, I stepped away from the doctor stuff. I realized it wasn't for me. I majored in education, graduated and taught, and my writing kind of went on the back burner for about almost 7 years until I decided to go back and get my master's in creative writing and in writing. And for creative writing, my creative writing master's, I had to write a thesis, a poetry thesis. I was also selected to be in a student invitational reading where I got to read some of my work to the creative writing department and students and anybody who wanted to come to that poetry reading. And yeah, I also had to write a whole other thesis in writing about creative writing and composition in the classroom. So there's my long-winded journey about about writing.
Yeah, that's quite a journey. I actually kind of echo a lot of what you talked about, because, you know, I have a big, like, line of doctors on my dad's side. My dad, well, my mom's side, but my dad's a doctor. He owns his own clinic. And then my mom's side, I have four cousins who are doctors. So I guess medical is kind of just in my blood. I've always loved medicine, human body, but, like, of course, growing up, I wrote more than I spoke sometimes. And, like, it was kind of just my way of just putting my thoughts out there, my life out there. And I kept writing, and from that point on, that right now I still keep writing. So I definitely echo a lot of what you talked about with that story about, you know, how you kind of transitioned with other stuff like creative writing and poetry. So yeah, we kind of have similar stories. So why do you think writers have low confidence in sharing their work?
Well, because I see writing as a very personal kind of act. When we all start as writers, we're really only writing for ourselves. Like, maybe when you're little, you keep a journal, you keep a diary. It's your thoughts, and you're really the only reading those thoughts. So when you transition to having to write for an audience, then it's kind of a big leap. Because it's like, whoa, I'm only used to writing for myself here. And now I have to write for other people to read my work. Will they like it? Will they make fun of it? It is a scary, scary thing. I'll say this. Whenever I wrote my first poem, because in the creative writing program, even as undergrads, you have what's called writer's workshops, where you write your work. You turn it into the teacher makes copies, and then it goes through a workshop review where they tell you what they like about it, what didn't work. And the first time I did that, I was absolutely terrified. And so, yeah, it's a scary thing to make that transition from writing only for you versus writing to share your work with an audience.
That would make, I actually agree. Like, I remember at school, like, I would always be scared to, like, share my writing to the class, because, like, most of the stuff I wrote, like, came from my heart, and I just wrote straight from my heart, and it was just scary to share. But, like, as I, like, got past that fear, I decided to share my work to the class, and, like, they actually loved it, and
that's the thing about writing. Like, you get a lot of people, a lot of different, like, opinions, and you need to know how to, like, kind of, like, deal with the negative, the positive, or, like, the neutral. So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And the type of environment that you share your writing in is important. Not only does the workshop facilitator or teacher have to be supportive and create that supportive environment, the people also have to be supportive. But it starts from the get-go, yes, with the facilitator saying, like, because I've taught a poetry class and creative writing workshops, like, okay, here's an example of how you do it. Okay. You talk about what works, you talk about what doesn't work. There's a difference between constructive critiques and being a jerk. Mm-hmm. You have to stress that for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, you have to not just say, here's what I don't like. You have to say, like, here what I don't like, but what I also like and what you can, like, do about it to make it better.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But I also really like how, you know, you kind of helped other poets because you were a poetry teacher. So do you think, like, kind of putting yourself in the position of, like, helping other writers helps maybe build their confidence and build your confidence, I guess?
Did it build my confidence as a writer, teaching others? Oh, absolutely, because you also get to see writing from the other side. So instead of you having your writing and you're sharing it, you're getting to help build up other writers' confidence. And it was one of the best things to see whenever I had students start out. It's just these shy things who were not really, like, didn't really want to share their work. And then at the end of the semester, whenever they wrote their final reflections, they said, because of your course and the way you ran your workshop, it helped me feel more confident in my work, and I'm going to be taking more creative writing classes because of you. Just like, wow. So that was just, like, a really good thing to see and just be able to do to help build up other writers. It was a good feeling.
Yeah, it's a good feeling when you, well, I actually, like, help someone. Like, that kind of makes you feel like, wow, I actually have some skill here. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So how do you think writers can help kind of build up their confidence with their writing so that they can be willing to accept it and share it?
Well, I would say that what they can do first is, even if they're only writing for themselves, whether it's a poem, whether it's a story, make that transition early from writing just for yourself to maybe sharing that writing with, say, your family. Now, I know that sounds kind of weird because as family members, we don't really want to be like, oh, well, this is what I didn't like about it. We just want to be like, oh, this is really good. But if you're honest with your family and say, hey, I have this story that I wrote, or hey, I have this poem that I wrote. Will you please read it and tell me what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it? Just give me your honest opinion about what you think. If you make that transition early, then that will help to start building up your confidence to when you get to, say, high school, college, where you're having to make more of the transition of writing for you versus writing for an audience. You will be more comfortable with it somewhat. You may not be completely 100% comfortable, but you'll be a little bit more comfortable with the process.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, it's kind of like a process. You don't, like, oh, let me just share my work to this huge group of people. Like, you have to kind of, yeah, just take it slow. Like, you know, share it to, like, a friend that you probably really know, and maybe they're also a writer and they could give you some critique. You know, of course, share it to your family. And over time, as you start to kind of build up, you start to share it to more people and more people, and you start to develop that self-confidence. So, yeah, I agree. So what I've noticed from your content is you have, like, a really high energy and confidence, which I really admire. So what do you think? Do you think writers should kind of force that? If they don't really have that energy, should they force it, or should they stick with their voice, and even though it may not be appealing to really read?
Well, I would say that if you don't have a high level of energy and Was it? Okay. What was I gonna say? Oh, so if you don't have a high level of energy, I would suggest for you to not fake it, because sometimes as writers, you may be, or content creators, you may be a bit more mellow with the way you do things. And that is perfectly fine, because, you know, as a writer, as a content creator, you have to realize that you're not going to reach everybody, and you're not going to be to everybody's taste. So the best thing that you can be as a writer and as a content creator is to, yeah, the old adage, be yourself. I know it sounds cliche, but it's true. Be yourself, stay true to yourself, and stay true to your voice. Because if you're not, then people can pick up on that. They'll be able to tell if you're being fake.
Yeah, trust is huge. Like, once you lose trust, it's almost hard to get it back. Like, you have to always stay true to yourself. I fell in the trap of, you know, copying other creators, copying even other writers, because maybe I didn't think I had a good voice. But, like, people always say, I don't have my voice, but you have a voice. It's just, like, it takes time to develop. You just have to keep writing and just keep sharing and just testing different writing styles, and, like, you'll eventually find, like, your voice. So
let me also add, read, because Stephen King's book On Writing is a book I would recommend for any writer. On Writing, A Memoir of the Craft by Stephen King. He's, if you don't have the time to read, then you won't have the tools or the ability to write, because we develop our writing styles, through who we read.
Yeah.
So you read like a whole bunch of different like authors in the genre or the niche that you want to develop in. And through reading those and experimenting, then your own style will come around. Like you said, it doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. Not in the least.
Yeah, reading is a big, big thing. Like, even though I'm not the biggest reader, I want to get into reading more. Like, it helps kind of make your voice a lot more, give it variety, and like you can just see how other people write, and you can like emulate, not copy, but kind of use it as inspiration so that you can use it for your own writing. But yeah, reading's good. And maybe if you don't have time to read, maybe you could do like audiobooks or just other forms of reading, because yeah, audiobooks definitely have value as well. So
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I know you always loved horror after your slight recent pivot. Did you have any fear in doing this pivot, and do you think writers have that same fear of changing and making the pivot?
Change is hard for anybody, and especially, yeah, change tends to be hard for me, especially when I'm stuck in a certain way of doing things, and whether it seems to be working or not, it's what's comfortable. And the thing about content creators and writers is that it's okay to kind of push yourself out of that comfort zone. I mean, I've always loved horror. I love horror movies. I love horror stories, horror games. So for me, it's like, I could actually be doing this. So. Yeah, to make that transition at first, I didn't do it all at once. I made sure to let my community know, hey, this is what's going to be happening, and it's going to be a slow transition from point A to point B. So I didn't just drop on their heads all at once. I always make sure communication too is key in situations like that.
Yeah. Before I actually did writing content, like, I didn't have much of a focus. My first two videos were just about kind of, like, my life, and just, I wanted to take it to a health and well-being kind of thing, but I realized, like, over time, writing was I loved writing, so I was like, I could make content on this, and I looked on Twitter, like, they're doing writing, but I feel like they're not, like, educating, you know, like, actionable advice. It's probably just, you know, like, they do, like, a writing prompt, and then they probably review other people's writings, but maybe I could do, like, even more, you know, help writers in different ways, and just kind of just guide them throughout their journey, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so you could research, and you found that little area that was missing, and mm-hmm. so you're building on that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I actually want to go more in depth with that, like, maybe they're, like, writers definitely need to have a niche because you can't write for everyone because you won't write for anyone. So what do you think is, like, they found their niche, but they feel like, oh, like, no one's talking about this. Like, I'm kind of scared. Like, this is, like, no, like, this territory is, like, uncharted. Like, how do you think they should deal with that?
Well, let's see here. So how should they deal with the whole just like uncharted territory aspect? I would just say, you know, even though there's not a lot of information out there, maybe in the uncharted territory that you're making content for, I just say approach it head on. Joe, just go for it. Put that content out there, put that writing out there. And if it works, yay! If you go along and you find out that it's not for you, then you could be like, well, at least I tried. Let me kind of pivot and go in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's okay to fail or okay to suck because, like, people want to see, like, your progression, your journey, and that's kind of what I want to take with my content. Like, I made the mistake of trying to make my vids like I was this expert. I knew everything, but, you know, I'm still figuring this out, and that's actually a really powerful place because, you know, people love narratives, they love journeys, so if they're, like, zoned into, like, your story, they're going to stay connected, and they're going to kind of stay with that process because, yes, you can talk about, you know, your middle and your end, but you have to talk about, like, how did you get to this point, and that's how people are going to be, like, we're with you on this, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, like, it's all a journey, and we're not completely 100% experts on everything, even if we have a degree in it. It's always, once you stop learning, you stop growing.
Yeah. So, a lot of writers, you know, when they do find their niche, they are scared of, you know, getting hate or getting, you know, backlash, and they might even develop imposter syndrome. How do you think they should, like, deal with these possible adversities?
So, just know that as a writer, as any kind of creator, that you're going to get backlash no matter what. Whether you feel it's unwarranted or it comes from completely out of left field, just know that you're going to receive what I like to call the unconstructive critiques. Like, LOL, you suck, that without really, like, no explanation as to why, or just the whole, just, like, derogatory kind of remarks. But what I look at it is that I guess it's just, you know, you just gotta brush those off. I mean, it took me a long, long time to, like, brush any kind of just, like, you know, negative derogatory comments that I may have received off, because I'm the type of person that tends to take everything personal.
Yeah, that's me too.
I take everything very personally, but it's just almost like, you know, this is just one person's opinion. It's a derogatory opinion. They're obviously not sitting at home stressing about it, so why should I? And then I just move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly the haters, it's not even about you. It's just usually about them. Like, maybe something happened in their life, or, like, just usually self-hatred can often spill in hatred to others because, like, they hate themselves or going through something. That's why it's important to just, like, not, you know, fight back. Just kind of just let them deal with it. And I actually want to talk about, like, you know, even sometimes it's not even just hate. Like, they just know. Like, they might have said something, and then let's kind of talk through this. Like, why do you think this way? Why do you have this mindset? So how do you think, you know, writers can deal with, you know, rehabilitation of the haters? Do you think it's, you know, it's possible? You know, is it, like, tiring, or how do you think they should do that, I guess?
All right, and I can't say that one approach is going to be the right approach for everybody. Me and how I handle what I like to call haters, trolls, or what have you, is just like, it's just the one and done kind of policy for me. If they have, like, whatever it is they end up saying, I'm just like, okay, I don't even really want to hear it. You're not being constructive, bye. And then I just, either if it's on Twitch, I I, or one of my mods, depending on who's there, times out, or bands, depending on their mood. And if it's on Twitter, I mute or ignore. Now, it's not like, oh, I have a constructive critique, and this is how you can make your writing better. I'm not like, haha, I'm going to ignore your very constructive critiques. No, it's not like that. It's the ones that are very just derogatory, just kind of hateful, or you can tell they're doing it to get a rise out of you. That's how I handle it. Now, kudos to the people that can be like, oh, let me talk to you just like one-on-one and kind of see where you're coming from. Like, kudos for that, for those kinds of people. When it comes to me, I really don't have the patience for it. It's just like one and done. That's my approach.
Mm-hmm. It's very tiring. I kind of came across some haters, you know, in my stream, like when I first started streaming, and like through DMs, like I was trying to, you know, help them, and like they even came in my stream saying like, sorry for being mean, you know, you were a really nice person, and like I kind of reworked their whole deal, but like it's tiring. I'm gonna be honest, I don't think I could rehabilitate all the haters like that, but like I give full props to those writers who deal with hate in that manner, because a lot of guts to do that.
Oh yes it does.
Yeah, so I guess we're gonna talk about the self-acceptance part. So we know like the topic is acceptance and confidence of your work, but do you think like they're the same, or are they different? Should they be like looked at differently, like as their own thing, or should we like you think of them as one thing, confidence and acceptance?
I think confidence and acceptance go hand in hand, like especially as a writer, because once you're confident enough in yourself and your self-esteem is at a high enough level to where you feel confident in what you put out, you could be like, all right, I put this out there, this piece of writing out here onto the interwebs, and I absolutely know it's the best I could possibly do, and I will take all compliments and critique as they come, and I will use that to better my own writing. So I think, self-confidence and acceptance do go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. But I think the confidence will need to come first before you get to that point where you feel very accepting of your work.
Yeah, I guess confidence is kind of like the start. Like I'm confident in my work, but I feel like acceptance, you have to like, it's like a long term, I guess. You have to accept your work throughout, because like a lot of stuff happened where you just hit a plateau, like, is my writing even helping anybody? Is this even worth it? Because, like, you have to be confident first, and then you have to accept your work later. So, yeah, I agree. So, we know, like, I read your blog about, you know, you're the writer girl. Do you mind, like, kind of giving us a rundown of how you go through your work, if you're okay discussing that?
So how I personally go through my work?
Yeah, with the blogs and writings and stuff, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I've kind of gotten away from the website aspect and have kind of shifted more towards like, okay, the writing is more for myself. But when I get a writing idea or like a snippet of a writing idea, I mainly write poetry. So mm-hmm. I've got this, like, you know, my notebooks. I go old school. Mm-hmm. And I have my notebooks, or one notebook or both notebooks with me at all times. If I end up getting an idea for something, I'm like, huh. Even if it's just like a snippet of something, an idea or a line, I write it down, that way I don't forget it, and so that way I can revisit it at a later time. And then when I come back to it, then I start fiddling around with it, and then maybe I put it away for a few days, then I fiddle around with it some more. It's just like a constant process of me. I get the initial idea, I write it down, I step away from it, I come back. I step away from it, I come back. And then it gets to the point where after a certain period of time, it just depends. One time it took me almost a year to fully complete a poem from start to end.
Oh, wow.
One time it took me 2 weeks. One time it took me a few days. So it's just a matter of whenever I feel it's ready, then I put it out there to different, I submit it to different like poetry, literary magazines. And then if it gets accepted, great. If not, then I edit it if I have to, I revise it, and submit it again.
Mm-hmm. So we just got a message from Octavia Memories. She says, you know what I think? I think calling them haters is a bad mindset to have. Yes, yeah, some people are really bad or immature at feedback. If it happens, do keep in mind, get good feedback or not, they should take their time to look at your work. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, they took the time to read your stuff, and you know, at least they're seeing your stuff. That, I guess that's the positive to how you look at it.
Let's see here. Well, if they're not going to offer, let's see, as a writer, if they're not going to offer constructive feedback, if it's just going to be like, you know, like, LOL, you suck, or they get, like, your looks involved, like, say, hey, you look ugly, or those, like, things that have nothing to do with your writing, then it's not a matter of, at least I have these people who are making all these derogatory comments looking at my work. It's just, okay, they're just saying things to try and get under my skin, and it's not helping. And, I'm more the fact that your critiques have to be constructive, both your good and your bad. Otherwise, they're not going to help me as a writer.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, there's just people out there who's just here to just, they don't even care if you're a writer, a creator, or whatever. They're just here to just be ugly. And that's kind of what we have to deal with when we put ourselves out there. Like, we're going to get, you know, a lot of, you know, backlash, and we're going to have to know how to deal with it maturely. So, yeah. So, I know, oh, Octavia just responded again. I'm going to read this. Oh, so she said, he or she, I'm not sure, but to answer the main question, here's how you deal with negative feedback. Look at it. Ask yourself, is this helpful to me or not? Do I agree with this feedback or not? If the answer is no, then ignore it and move on. If the answer is yes, then edit your work. You can, of course, always ask the person why they said that. Why they said what they said. It's not already explained in the feedback like it should be. Yeah.
Okay, and Octavia, I do agree with your point as far as I don't even like to, if it's a constructive critique saying here's what you could do better, I don't look at it as negative feedback. And if more than one person is saying the same thing, for example, this part in your poem or whatever you're writing, this is not clear. What do you mean by this? So if I get more than one person saying that, then I take it into consideration. And if it's just like one outlier person that's saying, well, this part wasn't clear, but all the others that you showed your work to are saying, oh, well, this part's fine, then you could choose what you want to do with that one outlier comment. Because as I mentioned earlier, you can't write for everybody, and even people that like your type of work or that niche or that genre, your style of writing may not be to their taste, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's definitely okay. Like, we can't appeal to everyone, because writers try to say, you know, there's some writers who like, personally for me, I try to please everyone, I try to appeal to everyone, but like, that's just not the way to go, because if you try to appeal to everyone, you're kind of like stunting your progression, because you're trying to like, how can I appeal to this, to that? You just gotta be ready to find your niche and be ready to get that rallying cry of people who support you and that rallying cry of people who just loathe your work. So yeah, it's kind of a thing that every creator kind of has to deal with. And she also, oh, you were saying?
Oh, no, I wasn't
going to
say anything.
Okay. And then they also said, and I agree with her point to an extent, it's not uncommon to get feedback and be crushed by it. It's important to take a step back after getting feedback and let your emotions calm down. Get some separation, then look at the feedback again objectively. Yeah. True.
Okay. Yes, and I find that it tends to happen, like, very, very early in the process for a writer whenever you're at that point where you're making a transition from writing for you versus then putting your work out there to share with the world, because, or the world or your small audience, because whenever I first got constructive feedback, I took it very personally. It's like, oh my God, they think this sucks. It took me many, many years to kind of build it up to where I was like, to where I'm now like, I want your feedback. Tell me what you think. When I see constructive feedback, it doesn't faze me as much as it used to. I'm just like, okay, it's coming from a place of they just want to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes you can tell, like, people are, I'm here to help, and some people are just not here to help because they give you, like, a full rundown of, like, what's wrong, like, what we can do about it, what you did well, and, like, you know, they're out here to help, and you can tell, you know, who's not helping and who's helping, so. And then Octavia said, if they are not offering this constructive, useful info, then ignore it. Don't feed into it. Yeah, don't give them that attention because, you know, the haters, that's all they want. They want attention because if you give them attention, it's going to kind of fuel their fire and they're going to keep doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm just like, yep, I don't even want to listen to it. Bye. That's my one and done approach I explained like earlier.
Mm-hmm. So, we haven't really talked about this, but you do the writer girl, your writer girl deal, like you write for companies and content creators. How do you think writers should step into that territory to like kind of develop their confidence more, and like what is your advice for like the writers trying to write for companies and creators first before they decide to be their own writer?
Well, I would say first take a few jobs, even if they're just like jobs that are just like on a volunteer basis or are just for the experience. Like I do some content writing for Ashton Christ mm-hmm. on a volunteer basis, writing the descriptions and whatnot for her YouTube videos. And I would say like build up that experience first, even if it's on a volunteer basis, before you start making the jump into and writing for companies. So yeah. Just like create your own opportunities so that way whenever you start applying for these paying jobs or showing your portfolio, you can be like, well, this is the stuff that I've done for X, Y, Z. And then they can be like, oh, interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah. Wait, I'm responding to Octavia right now. So yeah, that's a good thing, you know, like don't go full-fledged into like, you know, write for companies, like, you know, kind of write for content creators first. And I actually really am big on, you know, don't just write for any creator, you know, maybe you just want something from them, but like support their mission, you know, do they have a mission that really speaks to you and like, you know, they need more writers. Like, of course, like if they have writers open and you support their mission, then you're going to enjoy working for them more because you support the mission, you support like what they're fighting for. So yeah,
right. And then just when, especially if it comes down to the fact like, well, I just need a job, oh look, like here I need to write this like what I think might be a boring description for like say a shampoo company. Well then like you might take the work because like you need the money. But once you build up your experience and just like over time, then you can start like, you can get like what's called the dream job.
Mm-hmm. It takes time to get that dream job. So the last tip is, what is your number one tip for new or growing writers?
My number one tip for new or growing writers, read.
Okay.
That would have to be my number one tip because reading and writing definitely go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. If you are like, it doesn't necessarily have to be big chapter books. It could be things like comic books, graphic novels. If you like reading nonfiction, stuff about science, space, mm-hmm. so like whatever you like reading, read. That's what I would suggest because through reading, you develop your own style, you experiment with it, and you get to the point to where you feel like, you know, this is my voice, this is me. So that would be my number one tip.
Okay. Read. Do you think, like, they can read anything? It doesn't have to be manuscripts. You know, they can read blog posts. They can read pretty much anything. you know, newspapers, they can get their anything they can get their hands on.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was that type of reader. I read anything that I could get my hands on, and through reading all these different things, I was able to find out, well, I love this genre, I don't like this genre. I really like this author. Yeah, this author is just okay. So by reading all sorts of different things, then you can start to narrow down your tastes and your personal opinions about what you feel about writing styles and things of that nature.
Yeah, I agree. Like, people want to just read what they're interested in, but if you really want to, like, grow and broaden, like, your knowledge, you have to read other stuff that may not suit your interest, but who knows, you may like it. You know, just give it a chance and see if it really works, you know.
Absolutely.
Okay, I guess we're gonna do Q&A, but let's follow up with this chat.
Okay.
Okay, they said, to be completely honest, I've never met any feedbacker who is only here to say, oh, this sucks, lol. I don't believe that's a thing. If you're getting that, you're asking the wrong people for feedback. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You don't like feedback from those type of people. Like I mentioned, they're not going to be constructive about it.
Mm-hmm. And they said, I think with our guy here translating my messages, there is a disconnect in our conversation. Hey, what? If something's happening, I'm willing to join if you're up for it. Wait, join the interview? I'm so confused.
It's okay. I'm confused on a daily basis.
Yeah. And then they said, there's a certain point you reach as a writer where your views on feedback from I hope you like it to I hope they can help me improve it. You should not assume your work is great. You should be hoping that if someone gives you feedback, they can give their honest opinion on what worked and what can be improved. Oh, yeah. That's a really good way to see it. That's a good one. And then they said, I think another point is, well, some people just suck at feedback. Feedback, man. Some people will say this sucks and not tell you why without meaning to offend you. It's just that they see that there's problem but don't know how to fix, so they tell you what exactly is wrong with it. Yeah, sometimes having a thick skin is definitely a big thing. Like, you have to, as you get hate, as you get backlash, your skin is gonna get thicker and thicker and thicker, because there's just people out there who are just, people are crazy out there, so, yeah.
That they can be sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And then they said, wait, I think, and of course that's not useful to you, but they're also not hater, which is why I would use that term. You don't always know someone's motives unless they're being blatantly rude. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Sometimes you don't know what... Sometimes it just comes down to, like, maybe you didn't take it the way they wanted you to take it. Like, you thought it came from a place of hate. Maybe you could have read it another way, or just see what they were trying to go with. Yeah. And then they said, it depends on where you are as a writer, but as a newer writer, you should write for yourself. Later, if you're looking to sell things, you need a balance of what you want to write and what people want to read, but you should never go to the point where you're only writing what people want to read.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. We all start off with writing for ourselves, and then we just naturally make that transition from writing for ourselves to writing for a broader audience.
Because mm-hmm. sometimes, like, just writing for yourself is almost therapeutic. It's not just for, you know, how can I write for an audience, but, you know, just writing how you feel, writing stuff about yourself, just is just really healing. It helps you kind of get your thoughts straight. So, and then they said, my number one tip for new or growing writers would be to reach the end of your first draft. So many writers get caught up on wanting things to be good that they never actually finish a story, and the world's best unfinished book cannot stand up to a garbage finished book, you know. And I definitely agree with the reading as a central point she made. Yeah. Sometimes it's just getting started. Like, oh, I'm not good at making titles. I'm not good at, you know, this. getting started is number one. Like, people want to see your journey. They want to see your process, because if your first few writings are amazing, like, that's not relatable. People aren't going to see where you started. You're not going to be a mentor. You're just going to be like kind of like a figure. Simply writing from a point of like, I want people to be inspired is how you should look at it sometimes. So yeah. So I guess no questions. I guess no Q&A. Hello, you hear me?
Yeah, Octavia, you did have a lot of good points.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, thank you for sharing those.
Yeah, thanks for sharing with us. Yeah, I guess there's no Q&A.
Alrighty.
Yeah, this was I enjoyed having you on. It was a great first podcast interview.
Hey, well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed being on.
Well, aren't you going to go live soon?
I will be going live soon, yes.
Okay, I guess I'll rate you. Let's do this. Yeah. Thanks so much for taking your time to see me, and hopefully we can, you know, do this again sometime.
Yeah, just anytime you're up to it, then just let me know.
All right, enjoy your stream. I'll see you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a podcast episode. That really opened my eyes on a lot of stuff. I'm going to be honest with you. It talked about how, like, you need to push past the hate. You need to push past what you're enduring and just get started. Because I talk about that all the freaking time. Like, when you're a writer, you need to hit go. Like, maybe you don't have the best confidence. Maybe you're not accepting your work right now. But the only way you're gonna learn and grow and get used to this is if you just start writing, because I didn't know my place in the content space until I just hit go. Because I started my content more of like a well-being standpoint, but I realized writing was my calling and I found out about it, and I make content for writers now. So if you're in a place of I'm not accepting my work, I'm not confident in my work, it will pass. You have to go through that. Those struggles, you have to go through that broken path of you know, the universe trying to say you're not good, but you're good, you're worth it, you've got this. But yes, that was amazing. I wasn't as nervous as I thought I was gonna be. I had a great time, and I hope you got some value off of this podcast. And just don't be afraid to suck. Don't be afraid to just hit go and get started, and yeah, you got this. Okay, I've hit that trap of feeling like I'm not confident, I don't got it, but you got it. You got to keep writing, and as you keep writing, you're gonna get confident, you're gonna find your voice, you're gonna find your place in the writing space, and you're gonna kill it. So go out there and kill it for me. Okay, love you guys. I'll see you in the next podcast episode. But sorry that I didn't upload a podcast episode, because I was waiting for this one, but hopefully this interview made up for it. So don't forget to find your place in the writing space. I love you all. I'm really, like, not only am I hopefully inspiring you, but you guys inspire me. Like, writers out here are so passionate. They're so determined, and they never give up. They just want to keep writing, keep pushing until their writing gets noticed. And that right there inspires me. And hopefully I can inspire you guys like you inspire me. So thank you for hanging out with me and being in my journey, and hopefully you will continue to support my journey. I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye. I love you all.